We want to look here in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2. Close out this chapter here tonight, Lord willing, may start in the third chapter. But we want to notice here in verse 18, Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And that's where we left off last week. "And Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, church, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye, church, are our glory and joy." We see here that the Apostle Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved these people here at Thessalonica. He loved the work that was going on here in Thessalonica. And he said he would come unto them once and again, but Satan hindered him. Satan is out to hinder us in the service of the Lord. He doesn't want you to surrender all. He doesn't want you to give your all. He wants to hinder you. He wants to hinder me. And he's out to do that every opportunity that he can, to try to hinder us in the service of the Lord. He wants us to just render a partial service. He doesn't want us to give it all we've got. Did you ever come to the services sometime and you just feel like you're drug out? Just drug out. Spiritually, it just seemed like you're about half there, you know? And that's the works of Satan. And we'll be mentioning that here as we go along. But I believe there's few people that really realize the power that Satan has and how often he does things to hinder us in the work of the Lord. And everybody that is saved by the grace of God knows what I'm talking about. I discussed a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning in our new converts class, and I was telling them that now that they're saved by the grace of God, Satan is going to trouble you. Satan is going to trouble you. I want them to know that. And I asked them if they were aware of that, and every one of them said yes, they were aware of that. They've experienced that already in their Christian life. Probably more so than when they were lost. And so we need to realize the power that Satan has. And so he's going to try to hinder you tonight. He's going to try to hinder me tonight from preaching what the Lord would have me to preach. He's going to try to hinder you from hearing the message that the Lord has for you tonight. He don't care how he does it. He's out to hinder you. He's going to hinder our church. He's going to try to hinder our revival coming up. He doesn't want the Lord's church to have revival. He doesn't want to see us revived. Things are going to happen when God's people get revived. And so he's out to hinder. He's out to hinder our homes. He's out to hinder our homes, as we said last week. He's out to tear up every home in this church. And he don't care how he does it. And we probably all have experienced that. So we want to notice a few passages of Scripture. And this is where we left off last week, and I should have went ahead because sort of left you out there in the cold and telling you what we're going to do about this. Now that you say that Satan has power, Satan's out to hinder you, and this sort of left you there. But I want to bring out tonight how that we can resist the devil. How that we can resist the devil. What are you going to do about that power that he has? What are you going to do about him trying to hinder you? And I believe we have several passages of Scripture here, especially over here in the book of Ephesians. We'd like for you to go back there with us in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'd like to look at verse 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath or upon your anger. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And a lot of times we give place to the devil. We don't resist him. We give place to him. And so one way that we can resist him is don't give place to him. Sometimes we just open up the door. We just open up the door for him. We just fall right into his traps. We just go right ahead and give place to him. And so he says, resist the devil. Don't give place to him. Now notice also in the sixth chapter of the same book, in the sixth chapter, and let's notice verse 11. He tells us another way that we can resist the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And a lot of times we stop there with all of the things that we're to put on. But we need to go down to the next verse in verse 18 and pray. And a lot of times we leave that out. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, but put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to pray. We need to pray. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? We brought that out some last week, dwelt quite a bit on prayer. And that's where I run into my trouble, the biggest part of my trouble with the devil, is not praying. And we can become so weak. We can become so weak that we're a wide open target for Satan. And you all know what I'm talking about when you get weak in prayer. You're not praying. You're not asking the Lord for His help, for His leadership, for His guidance, for His power in your life. We need the power of God to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil within your own self, within your own flesh. He'll whip you up one side and down the other. He'll work you over good. And I've heard preachers, I've heard Pentecostal preachers and so on, say, come on, devil. I'll tell you what, there's not a match here for the devil. You're not a match for the devil. And I'm not either. And so we need the power of God in our life. And the only way we're going to get the power of God is through the Word of God and through prayer, through the truth of the Word of God. And so we need to realize that. And I believe that's another way that we can resist the devil. Now look at James chapter 4. In the book of James. And chapter 4. And notice verse 7. Submit yourselves. All right. Circle the word submit. Submit yourselves, therefore. When you see the word therefore, see what it's there for. All right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? Submit. Let's get first things first. First of all, before we resist him, we're going to have to submit ourselves to God. You see the order there? Submit yourselves. We need to submit ourselves to the Lord. Lord, you've got to help me with this. A lot of times we just go right on. And we just go right on and do what the devil would want us to do. And we know it's not of the Lord. But we go ahead and we do it anyway. But he says here, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That is very important in fighting the attacks of Satan upon our life. It's very important for us to submit to God. So when you submit to God, when you're submitting to Him, you're submitting to His power. You're submitting to His help. You're submitting to His leadership. And so he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. So we submit ourselves to God, and then the next thing we do is we resist the devil. Now we're equipped, now we're ready to resist the devil. You don't resist the devil within your own power. You don't resist the devil within your own strength. You all see what he's saying to us here tonight? So we submit ourselves first of all to the Lord, and then we're able to resist the devil. You just don't up and resist him. within your own strength and within your own power. You've got to submit yourself to the Lord. You've got to submit to His leadership. You've got to submit to His power. And then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. I tell you what, you just go to the Word of God. You just submit yourself to the Word of God. There's been many times when I've just done nothing but quote a scripture. I just lean on the Lord. I just submit myself to the Lord. And I'll ask the Lord to give me some scripture. And if I can't think of anything, I'll quote John 3:16. If I can't think of anything else, and I mean that devil's gone. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you're not going to resist him within your own power. That's very important. Now, one more passage of Scripture over here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Let's notice verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. And I read that tonight and I thought, man, what a sermon. The works of the devil. The devil is at work. You're here tonight, you're not saved by the grace of God. The devil wants to work on you. He wants to work you over. He wants to put everything in your mind to keep you from coming to the Lord. He's going to try to hinder. He's going to try to work every way that he possibly can. Salvation is not going to come to you in a big bolt of lightning. And unless you believe, unless you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. With the heart man believeth, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. That is something that you are going to have to do. The Lord is not going to do that for you. He won't do that for you. I know that the working of the Holy Spirit, the convicting of the Holy Spirit, I believe with all of my heart, that has all got to be there. And that will be there. But Satan is going to do everything that he can to hinder you. But praise God, he that is within you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so Satan is out to hinder in every way. And so, back in our lesson here, in verse 19, for what is our hope? What is your hope tonight? What is your hope? what is your hope of heaven? What is your hope of eternity? That's a hope. What is your hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You know, the Apostle Paul often spoke about going to heaven. He spoke often about the blessed hope. He spoke about the joys of heaven. He spoke about the rewards that we're going to receive. He was looking forward to seeing and being in heaven with these members at Thessalonica. Oh, the presence, oh, the joy of being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, His presence is great here. But just think what it's going to be like to see Him face to face. There's not a greater experience that you can experience here upon this earth than the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? To experience the presence of the Lord. But again, Satan's going to do everything he can to hinder us from experiencing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's not a greater feeling like it than experiencing the presence of the Lord. But one of these days, that's great. That's great. That's joyous. And that's what Paul was talking about. But all the joy of one day seeing Him face to face. I preached a little bit about that yesterday. But we'll not only feel His presence, but we'll be in His presence. We'll be in His presence. I'm looking forward to this great event. And Paul said that they were his hope. They were his joy. They were his crown of rejoicing. You all are my hope. You all are my joy. You all are my crown of rejoicing. There's a whole lot more to this pastoring than what a lot of people realize. I guess I was feeling sorry for myself yesterday. My wife and I was going to town. And, you know, you get to thinking about being at home. You think about being around your children. Now, you all have been in this part of the country all your life. Some of you don't know what it means to be away from your family for 32 years. That's all, and I'm not feeling sorry for myself tonight. But that's all the part in pastoring. But Paul said here that they were his joy. They were the ones that was keeping him here. They were the ones that was keeping him going on and preaching and visiting and doing what he was doing. And that's what keeps a pastor there. Because it's misery when that's not there. When that joy is not there. When that hope is not there. When that crown of rejoicing is not there. But he said here that they were his joy, and they were his hope, and they were his crown of rejoicing. And you may wonder why I preach the way I do sometimes, or the things that I preach or teach sometimes. But you all are my hope, you're my joy, and you're my crown of rejoicing. And I believe this causes me to suffer many things as I pastor New Testament Baptist churches. Because I realize that the truth that I preach is not going to return unto him void. But it's going to accomplish that wherein he has sent it. And that's a joy. That's a joy to know that. I've held revival meetings, and maybe 3 or 4 years later, I'll go back to that church and somebody will come up to me and they'll say, "Brother Jones, I want you to know something. When you were preaching during this revival meeting," said a couple weeks later, "the Lord saved my soul. And I want you to know that the Lord used that message that you preached."